This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, golfers. This is Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks here with you, along with producer Adam Scully.
Good to be back.
Filling in for the wonderful and charming Mark Sacchino, who is over in Italia.
Yeah.
Took his folks over to a little scenic tour of Italy. Going to see the homeland, the Azzurri, and judging by the pictures I've seen on his Facebook page, looks like he's having a good time.
He is an avid Facebook poster as well.
He is.
He likes, but it looks like he's having a good time.
He posted a picture of some band, Italian band, playing Careless Whispers, and I kind of lost track after that one, but he's got some beautiful pictures up there. And so he's got a well-deserved week off, and here we are going to... extend the golf season.
Yes.
It's amazing how warm it's been out here.
Well, especially last Saturday after Mark and I did Golf Talk when you were running the Chicago Marathon, it was like 24 degrees here, and I played golf both days. It was beautiful. I was in shorts both days.
Now, I saw in the forecast in the Ontario area, southern Ontario, it's going to be a little dip in the middle of the week, but then by the end of the week, it's back up in the mid-20s again.
Yeah.
And this just never ends. It's great. I mean, after the crummy spring we had.
I know.
Now, in other parts of the country, I noticed it was a little bit snowy. I saw the Whistler golf course had its first bit of snow.
Yeah.
Alberta has been snowy. I was just out in Cape Breton. I got back from Cabot Links for the RBC Scramble presented by the Lincoln Motor Company. Got to get the sponsors in there.
Of course.
And they were windy, very windy, and cool, single digits. But again, later in early next week, apparently, next week's their last week, but it's going to get up into the high teens. So
wow.
If you're heading out that way, it's pretty good.
And how was, I mean, there's a lot of people listening who either want to make Cabot a trip or they have been and enjoyed. How was the experience playing the golf course?
It's unbelievable. I was out there for this event. Now, the RBC, this is a PGA of Canada event, and essentially what they've got is, I think, about 15 or 18 teams of four amateurs plus a professional playing a scramble. And they've got all sorts of calculations about how they work it out. And these teams all qualified, and they're coming from right across the country, from BC right through to Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. And it was cool, and it was windy the first day, a little better yesterday, and they're playing their final round today. But the comments from the players, and some of these players are not necessarily A-level players. They're mid-handicappers, some of them maybe a little higher. But they were all just blown away by it. And everybody who goes there gets blown away. I find, though, now the big comment is... it used to be last year when the second course, Cliffs, officially opened, that a lot of people loved that one better. They said, this is the wow factor. This is amazing. Now I'm finding there's kind of back and forth.
Yeah.
Some people like Lynx. Some people like Cliffs.
Yeah.
Jared Dutoit was out there with
us.
He was kind of the celeb that was out there, young Canadian professional. And he said he liked the Lynx better.
Huh.
So,
and the new Mr. Team RBC as well.
Correct. What's that?
Dutoit.
Right. Jared Dutoit is now a member of Team RBC. Excuse me there. You lost me there.
No, it's
early,
all good.
Early morning. Jared signed a deal with to be an ambassador with, and it's unusual for them to sign someone that young and that, I won't say not quite accomplished, but he doesn't have the creds yet that a lot of the other RBC players do. But I think they see the future in him, and he's just a wonderful young man. Making his way home today. He had to spend the night in Toronto last night, and he's on his way back to Kimberley, British Columbia, driving down the coast for stage two of the Web.com Tour qualifying, which he made it through stage one with just the 26 under par in the four rounds. So,
and golf never ends.
And golf never ends. That's right. That's what we're going to discuss on today's show.
Yes.
We are going to speak with Ralph Bauer, who you may not know. He is a PGA Tour coach. From Turkey Point, Ontario, has a great stable of top Canadians and some American players now, and he's kept kind of a quiet profile compared to a guy like, say, Sean Foley, but we'll talk to him and talk about his players. We're going to look ahead at the our Golf Talk Canada TV's Year in Review show. So we want to know about who you think should be Player of the Year, Breakout Player of the Year, Canadian of the Year. Maybe we should put in Course of the Year. What's the favorite course you played this year? We're going to throw this out to listeners out there. Of course, winners, weird and what, and a few other things. But let's kick things off right now with the news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Well, some interesting news from the PGA of Canada, as we were just mentioning, not necessarily about this, about that tournament that they were having, but they've hired a new boss. The new executive director, or GM, or CEO of the PGA Tour of Canada is a well-known name around the southwestern Ontario, Jorns, and also out west in Calgary, where he's been for the last couple of years. Kevin Thistle is going to take over as the head guy. Do you know Kevin very well?
I don't know him very well. I did have one encounter with him, if you will, at Bayview, where I play. We had a bit of a charity event where it was Craig Stadler playing against Paul Coffey and a bunch of other pros, and Kevin was, in fact, our club pros, and Kevin was there. And so I got to talk to him a little bit, but nothing other than that.
Well, he's a very outgoing, gregarious, smart, entrepreneurial guy. I think he's going to do a great job with the PGA of Canada, so we wish him all the best. He takes over in early November. He's got to clean up a little bit down in...
And he was in Cabot with you as well, correct?
He was in Cabot out there looking over things, standing on the first tee with me yesterday as we welcomed all the players through. And he has been, the last few years, he's been looking after the development of that Mickelson course in Calgary.
Ah, yes.
Mickelson North, which I think is going to be an interesting development. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't pass up an opportunity to come back to his roots and take over the PGA of Canada. Have you heard much about that Mickelson course? I don't really know a lot about it.
A little bit on Twitter. I'm just curious to see if there's just false fronts to hit, full flop shots from 18 yards everywhere.
That's right.
But I've seen a couple photos, but I'm sure it'll be quite a unique golf course for sure.
Well, it is something else. Speaking of big players, we saw another swing video this week from Mr. Tiger Woods, and we're going to discuss this a little more in depth in the next segment. But... this is a progression for Tiger. Obviously, he was hitting little wedges.
He must be feeling good, going from half wedges to full four irons.
Yeah, it was interesting, and there was also some buzz about the clubs he had in the bag.
Yes.
Someone took a picture of that, so we'll get into that in the next segment, but that was making a lot of headlines out there.
And I will say, I'm going to have a hot take on that.
A hot take?
A hot take on that. That's where I'll leave it.
I'm going to call you out on that one. Silverado Resort, where they held last week's Safeway Open, is basically burned down.
Yeah.
What a crazy story with these fires out in California. And I was reading a story about some of the golf NBC golf announcers who were packing up on Sunday night to leave Monday morning out. And apparently they smelled a little smoke. And so Roger Maltby said he went out on the balcony, looked around, saw the fires, and said to his wife who was with him, said, honey, pack faster. and they basically left Sunday night because the flames came right up. And if you've seen the pictures on there, they basically wiped out all the infrastructure, the stands, and then burned the resort. And Johnny Miller is actually a part owner of that resort.
Yes.
And lives on there. And the house that he had, he doesn't live in the house anymore because they downsized and went to a condo. But the house that he basically lived in prior to moving burned to the ground as well.
Oh my! Like, just imagine that's scary to think about. That's
nuts.
That's just that's unbelievable to happen. You know, so close to the tournament finishing, and it was a horrible situation. But imagine if it happened on the Saturday night.
Yeah, well, that's right.
You know,
a day earlier with all the people there, all the fans there, all the golfers there, and
frightening.
Something else. Here's a weird story. So they found a body in the creek at the Scarborough Golf and Country Club here in Toronto, and I mean, I don't know what to say about that other than not something you find every day on the golf course.
No, I mean, you know, as we were saying before, you know, did he lose a bet? Did he lost the Nassau and had to, what happened?
They don't know if, there was no news whether this was actually somebody from the golf course or if it was something in that area. And there's some interesting parts of the city that are not too far from that golf course. So maybe somebody was dropped off there. I can remember... a long time ago when they were building Royal Woodbine.
Ah, yes.
Now, Royal Woodbine is kind of built in the creek around I think it's the Etobicoke Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just sort of a lot of garbage area around there. And the designers and the builders were walking through and they saw this big roll of carpet. And they thought, that's kind of odd. So they kind of unrolled it and there was a body in there. And so they called the cops. And the first thing the cops came down, they said, oh, we've been looking for that guy. Apparently, he was some kind of a drug deal gone bad. And he met his demise in Royal Woodbine. So apparently, golf courses are popular spots too.
If you're going to,
dump golf body or dump bodies. Boy, I'm having trouble this morning.
We've certainly seen a lot of weird things happen on a golf course this year, and that's
among the weirdest ones.
That's the definition of the winner's weird and what on the weird portion right there.
Yeah. Now, they were going to do another one. There was another golf body found, I thought, somewhere, maybe it might be Toronto Ladies at some point, but as I say, there's some interesting places where you want to dump your bodies, I guess. I don't really know.
Yeah. Wow.
We've got some golf going on here, by the way. It's as you said just before we came on, the golf season never ends. And after we were on, and I mean, we've got the Champions Tour going, we've got the LPGA Tour going, we've got the Sunshine Tour, which is so South African Tour. We've got the European Tour, and I noticed it's very interesting that Mark Sacchino is over in Italy just as the Italian Open is being played.
And we can't confirm. Did he try to get an exemption?
I think he might have.
To play?
His putting, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, well, a couple weeks ago, he said he got a new putting tip, and he would not tell me on or off the air what it was. So
really?
I think it's top secret.
Well, for a guy who hits it as well as he does tee to green.
Well, he was saying that he shot in his club championship, he shot 77 with 41 putts.
Wow.
That is hard to do.
That's very hard to do. Wow. And, of course, we got the CIMB Classic going on over in Kuala Lumpur. Three Canadians in the mix. Not a great day for
Mr. Hadwin was up there through two rounds.
Top 10, and now he's down in T50, and we'll go over his round a little bit later in the program. All right, coming up, we do have lots going on here today. We're going to talk to Ralph Bauer, as I mentioned, a coach of to many stars, including Adam Hadwin, including just recently just working with Graeme Dillette, but also Lucas Glover. He works with Nick Taylor. So he's got a whole star. He works with David Hearn. Yep. So he's got quite a stable of young, good golfers out there. We'll talk to him. When we come back, though, we're going to look at Tiger's new swing and his new clubs and Rory's comments about wanting to be the best European Tour player ever.
Interesting.
Interesting stuff about
Very
that.
Interesting.
All that and more coming up today on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks, along with producer Adam Scully, as Mark Sacchino dines on pasta and sails along in the gondolas on a little Italian vacation.
Some fedoras on, probably, too.
Maybe, yeah, it could be. He's a sharp-dressed guy.
He does. He knows how to dress well.
As he says in his little sign-up all the time, right?
First good decision on the golf course. It always starts in the closet.
But I usually dress in the dark in the closet, so it doesn't work
At this hour. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. We have Ralph Bauer, who's a coach, is going to come up in the next segment, and we also are going to look ahead to some of the players of the year. Here's a couple categories. I want to throw these out, and if you want to tweet us on this, you can tweet me at BobWeeksTSN. Who's your breakout player of the year? And who is your question mark of the year? Mm. And finally, which of the four majors did you like the best this year? Let me know what you think about those. And we'll discuss those a little bit later in the show. Right now, though, some interesting comments and visuals from two of the biggest names in the game, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. And let's start with Tiger. So just at the President's Cup, he was talking about this little 60-yard wedge shot that he was able to hit.
Very straight.
Yes, very straight, as he said. And now, like a week later, we see him now hitting full 7-irons. And they're not ripped or anything by any means.
He was swinging pretty hard at them, though. I think
it was like 3/4. Would that be fair?
I don't know. It seemed maybe not full tilt, but it was he was club twirling.
Yeah.
So he had the tour sauce going at least at the same time. But I was shocked to see him. You know, there was nothing for so long. He must be feeling really good to go from going half shots to almost full tilt in a week.
Yeah, it was pretty.
And put it on social media. Like
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, he did have a little outing, a little event, and he brought Kevin Chappell in to assist him. And I do think it was unusual that he didn't kind of mention, like, he at the President's Cup where he was asked questions about it. He kind of left it very vague, right? He didn't say, "Oh, well, I'm hoping next week I'll be hitting iron shots," even though he must have known at that point he was capable of it.
Well, and he kept saying that I'm just going to listen to my surgeon, and his surgeon must have given him the A-OK, because he was very, as you said, he was very vague. But at the President's Cup, he looked pretty ripped. He looked big.
Yep.
Working out twice a day with a bad back.
Looks like you.
Well, I don't know about that.
The other mystery that came about was when someone got a shot of his golf bag.
Yes.
And there were kind of irons in there that just had the TGR logo stamped on them.
And they were sort of shaped like the old Nike Victory Red that he used a number of years ago, I think.
Right. So there were some comments as to what these clubs and where these clubs came from.
Yes.
There was some talk, were they TaylorMades? Mm-hmm. Maybe they specially built for them. Were they Miura, which is a high-end kind of classic mm-hmm. blade company that's actually based on the west coast of Canada, even though they're Japanese, but they have their offices in somewhere just outside of Vancouver.
Wow.
Anyway, and then there was some talk about whether they were Nikes, and it came out that from one source anyway that said that was the guys. Just before Nike got out of the golf business, golf hard goods business, they're still in the soft goods business, mm-hmm. they made this set of clubs for Tiger, and I think that logo was stamped on afterwards. But they apparently are Nike golf clubs, which is interesting because, of course, Tiger is not a Nike player now.
No, he's not. And he did have a bunch of other tailor-made irons in there. It was a bit of an older model. It was a PSI model, at least for some of the irons anyway, which is last year's model. So I wonder if he's just getting loose and hitting golf balls again, and then he'll sort of
maybe
go through the fitting
the
process. Well, because when he played at the Hero last year, he obviously had the TaylorMade woods, and obviously there's been no talk of his ball, which was the Bridgestone ball, which I'm assuming he's going to keep going with that.
Yeah, so I guess the mystery will continue, and I'm sure once he does get back out on tour, that'll be a close to a full bag.
And here's the hot take that I teased.
Oh yes, hot take. Hang on. We should have a sound effect. We don't. There you go. Hot take by Adam Scully. Here we go.
I have a really weird feeling that Tiger might be trying to play in his own tournament.
In the Hero.
In 6 weeks. I've just got a really weird feeling. It's really out there.
It's really out there.
It's really out there. I know, and I tend to have some interesting opinions on the show, but I don't know. I just have a feeling that if he's posting these videos, he's going to say, you know what? Let's go play.
Feel good? Maybe he just goes out with like a half set.
Yeah.
And walks around.
And shoots 74 and, you know, hit 14 fairways.
That'd be interesting.
Interesting
to see. I think it certainly looks, after seeing that video,
a lot more
he's going to come back earlier than later, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know on Golf Talk Canada Television, you and Mark were sort of debating whether we'd see him at all in 2018.
Yeah.
Some people on Twitter, maybe we'll see him at his own tournament in 2018. I know it's out. I think the tournament's in 6 weeks or so. So it'd be a bit of a training camp, if you will. But I don't know.
Be interesting. Interesting
so
to see what
becomes.
Yep. So the other comment comes from Rory, who was at the Dunhill Links.
Yes.
Which is basically like the European Tour's Pebble Beach Pro Am.
Yeah.
They have a lot of celebs.
Great event. Great golf
Rory
course.
Was actually playing with his dad.
Yeah.
And the word is right now he's actually shut it down for the rest of the year. That's the last time we'll see him till next year. But this is what he said. He said there's the Grand Slam next year. That's the reasonable goal on the agenda. Then try to become the best European golfer ever. Try to surpass Nick Faldo in that. If I had a career goal, it would probably be to be the best international golfer ever. Gary Player has 9 majors. I'd like to think I'm going to give myself a chance to get close to that tally. So that's interesting. I mean, I guess you got to have a goal. And I don't find that too outlandish. He has four majors right now. The last one, interestingly enough, is 3 years ago.
2014
Valhalla. PGA, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And if you look up the list, I mean, I don't know what you count as a European Tour player or international player. I mean, Ernie Els has 4. Peter Thompson, Australian golfer, has 5. I don't know if international means non-American or something. Seve has 5. Valdo has 6.
6, there you go.
So, I mean, they're Gary Player with 9, as we said, pointed out. But do you think that's boasting or do you think that's just putting a goal out there?
I think it was just sort of the timing was random of you know, I'm not sure how that questioning came out to Rory at that time, the last tournament of his year. Obviously, the guy has some pretty high expectations, and yes, he has hasn't won a major since 2014, but there's a very small list of golfers who have more majors than him at 28 years old, and that's Jack Tiger and Bobby Jones. So. Snead, Phil, and Arnie all had 0 at that point. So I think in this day and age of golf, with the parity that's in the game, with the amount of young 20-somethings that go out and just absolutely rip the golf ball apart, for Rory, I can understand why his expectations are so high, but it's just harder to win nowadays, you know?
It is harder to win. And I think that I think it's good for Rory to say these things because why not? Why not have a goal? Now, of course, he's winless this year. For the first time.
It's his first winless season since 2008, I believe.
Right. And he has this floating rib injury problem that he wants to shut down now and play. And I gather he wanted to shut it down after the PGA, which he kind of hinted at. But there's a lot of sponsors and a lot of pressure from agents and things got him to play in a few more tournaments just to kind of round out the season. But I think he needs to get healthy before he does anything. And he's another guy kind of with another ailment that you just don't know what's going to happen, right? I mean, it's not like Tiger, obviously.
No,
but,
no.
But certainly could this be the start of something more?
Well, and certainly with Rory, it was just a year of change with the new gear, getting married, and
caddy.
The caddy was a big one, losing or splitting ways with JP Fitzgerald. You wonder who's going to be on his bag when the next time we see him.
Niall Horan.
Wow.
No,
Niall Horan, Steve Williams, imagine.
Maybe. There's Steve Williams. He retired.
That would be interesting.
I'm sure he'll pick up somebody who's pretty good, but I mean, there'd be a long list of guys who would love to caddy for him,
Bones?
I'm sure. Maybe Bones. Yeah, there you go. You never know, right? That's an interesting one. That's an interesting one. Whatever we have, it'll be the next time we see Rory will likely be in the Middle East swing for the European Tour, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, one of those kind of tournaments. Mm-hmm. He's going to go and fix up his house, apparently, which he hasn't had a chance to do since he got married. And we'll see what happens with his team from that point on. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ralph Bauer, who is coach of the many stars on the PGA Tour. He is a soft-spoken but very effective guy. A lot of golfers have put their faith in him, and we'll find out why when we talk to Ralph Bauer coming up on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Bob Weeks, along with Adam Scully, in for the vacationing Mark Zucchino, who is over in Italia. And welcome back. We are going to jet our phone lines down to the beautiful Turkey Point, Ontario, which is kind of like the gateway to Delhi, south of Brantford, on the lake. Very nice little spot, because that's where we find our coach to the stars, Ralph Bauer, who has made a big name for himself coaching a lot of players over the years. Right now, he is working with Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor, Kyle Stanley, Lucas Glover, Gary Woodland, and the most recent addition to his stable as of last week, Graham Dillette. Good morning, Ralph.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. First of all, I just want to ask about this latest development of Graham Dillette. Now, Graham, as we know, has had all sorts of problems with his wedges and chipping, and we saw a flub on
18,
the last hole in 18 last week and when he was coming down the stretch. But just give us an update as to what you're going to do with Graham and how this latest relationship came together.
Yeah, well, I mean, Graham's a very good player. I think if he didn't, you know, wasn't so honest and didn't publicize, you know, kind of what he was going through, people wouldn't have, you know, maybe only his wife and a couple of people would have noticed. But, he's been a friend of mine for a while, obviously. You know, all the Canadians out there stick together. He's a very good player, obviously. And, one of my other players, Lucas Glover, kind of went through a similar issue, right? And so last year he reached out to Lucas and, talked about kind of, ways to, work on your weaknesses and to, keep getting better. And, Lucas, suggested that, he talked to me for a little bit, which we did a little bit last year. And, we're going to continue doing that a little bit more moving forward. But Graham's got exceptional hand-eye coordination. He's very confident. He's a great ball striker. A few years ago, the knock on Graham was, his putting wasn't great. He's worked super hard on his putting, and now he's a great putter now. And, the next area is a short game, and, I have no doubt that, he'll turn that into a strength here, moving pretty shortly.
Now, Ralph, another Canadian who had a big year, obviously, was Adam Hadwin. You do some work with him as well. Did you see the sort of breakthrough coming out this year? Sort of not coming from nowhere, but obviously he's had a great year, and that maybe not many people could expect was coming.
Yeah, you know, Adam worked so hard, and he's a really good player. I did see it coming. You know, he's very steady. He's super diligent. I didn't really see it coming till the first time I was with him in the gym, and I was shocked at how athletic he was. He's kind of, I call him sneaky athletic. Like, people don't think of him as a great athlete, but boy, you know, he can move some weight around and you know, move his body around. Once I saw him do that, I was like, well, wow, if you can do that, then here's what I want you to do with your swing. And, you know, he's like, well, I can do it easy. So I was like, okay, well, great. And, you know, he had a good year. He, you know, very confident, you know, because he knows he prepares well. And I would say, of all the players I've ever seen on the PGA Tour, he's probably the best prepared with his short game. You know, when he's practicing his putting on a Tuesday, it looks exactly the same as it does on a Sunday. And that just makes it easier for him to, you know, roll into competition.
So, Ralph, let's take a step back here and just talk about you and how you got into this position where you're coaching PGA Tour players, because I know that you worked with Golf Canada for a little bit. You've worked with different players over the years, but give us the synopsis of how you went from beautiful downtown Turkey Point, Ontario, to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, so I got into the golf. I played myself, and they say those who can't do teach, but I got into the golf industry. I had some written down goals in the golf industry. My number one was to never give a golf lesson. So that hasn't, you know, worked out great for me. But I was lucky enough to get a job with Golf Sister Ontario, you know, as a coach for Ontario and with the national team. Really enjoyed my time there. It was a great experience for me. Got to work with so many experts from, you know, various fields, you know. Yeah, I've worked with over a dozen PhDs in different fields who all kind of wanted to get into golf. And, you know, it just kind of gives you a broad spectrum of knowledge that you can help your players with. Kind of one of the things I think about is, you know, if the old adage, you know, if all you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. I try to give myself as many tools as I can so that, you know, whatever problem, you know, we're dealing with, we can come up with a solution for.
Now, Ralph, last year you had a great opportunity to spend some time in the Olympic Village in Rio. Could you ever picture or imagine a time that you would have that sort of opportunity to spend 8 days in at an Olympic sort of atmosphere?
Yeah, for a coach of any kind to be able to live in the Olympic Village for 8 days was an unbelievable experience. You know, to see how the athletes prepare mentally and physically for their events, you know, how they, you know, decompress afterwards. It was, a game changer for me in terms of, you know, my coaching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, wish everybody could do is, I mean, I couldn't have imagined that 20 years ago for sure, right? But no, it was an unbelievable experience. And I know golf is so fortunate to be in the Olympics. It's going to get bigger and bigger. I mean, people ask me how big it is, and I'm like, well, a good way of describing it, Ricky Fowler doesn't have, you know, Augusta National tattooed on his arm. You know what I mean? But he does have the Olympic rings tattooed on his arms.
Yeah.
It is amazing how much bigger it is. And I know, I remember talking to David Hearn about that and saying, you won't understand until you get there just how big it is, having covered a couple of Olympics and gone in that way. I want to ask you about a couple of the other players in your stable, and those are the non-Canadians, and Gary Woodland and Kyle Stanley and Lucas Glover. When you work, how do you build that relationship? Is it just from being out on the tour and your reputation kind of preceding you, and you've helped other people, and the word gets around? Is that kind of how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, Lucas, Gary, I just work with Gary a little bit, but Lucas, Lucas and Kyle are great guys. I feel like if I don't know if it's possible or not, but if we could make them honorary Canadians, I think that'd be great. But Kyle, I've known Kyle since college, right, and. I've stayed at his house. My kids have stayed at his house. He's just a great guy. I was at his wedding. I spent a lot of time on the PGA Tour, and feel fortunate to get to work with these guys. But Kyle, if you help one person and they get better, it's a pretty small little area, right? And or it's a pretty small community. So like Kyle, you know, I helped Kyle, or I shouldn't say help Kyle get better, but while I was, you know, standing telling jokes to Kyle, he was you know, became better. So, you know, after that, you know, he played a round with Lucas one time, and Lucas, I'd known Lucas anyways, and he approached me after the round. I was like, hey, you know, do you have any more time? I'm like, well, I certainly have time for you. The great part about these guys, I learned so much from them. Like, I've learned a ton from Kyle. I've learned a ton from Lucas. I've never had a player that I haven't learned things from, which maybe is unfair that, you know, they you know, I charge them, but, you know, it's great that I'm learning so much from them. It's you know, it's hard to be a really top level coach, I feel like, if you don't get, you know, great players to work with, to learn from.
And Ralph, a big thing is with you implementing swing changes, whether it's someone on tour or an amateur like Bob and I, is how to implement some swing changes and take them to the golf course. Talk about how sort of uncomfortable that could be for a player to sort of, you know, take something that feels so foreign and to move it from the practice tee to the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I feel like if you try to minimize the swing change, mm-hmm. it helps the player. Like, if you try to make it out like it's a big deal to them, then they're going to think it's a big deal. But if, you know, if you kind of trick them and say, hey, it's just not going to take very long, then then they feel a little more confident taking it to the golf course. I feel that what I tend to do is, rather than trying to make a swing change, is try to, you know, identify an issue that we can improve on and then kind of tackle it in the gym to start with, or maybe through a better warm-up and then a few extra drills, and then just have them play with whatever feels naturally on the golf course and just have over time have it, you know, seep its way into their game.
Just a minute here left, Ralph, and I just want to ask you about this last tweet that you just put out about how to get from the airport in Jeju, Korea, to the golf course there. Are you heading over?
Yeah, so I'm going to Korea Monday, which will be fun, to Nine Bridges.
Nice.
Incidentally, there's only 8 bridges on the golf course, but
maybe you can build a 9th one for him.
Yeah, I think the 9th one's metaphorical or something. But anyway, so yeah, so I don't know how to get. It's an hour and a half away. There's no Ubers, no rental cars, and there's no transportation for coaches. But I'm sure. Yeah, maybe. Looks just, like a beautiful walk. But,
just don't go north. Ralph, we wish you all the best of luck. Congratulations on great success in turning the careers of a lot of these players around. And I don't mean that in a small way. You've really helped out a lot of players over the years. And I know you've become a good friend to a lot of us on the media side as well with your comments and your sense of humor. So congratulations. Good luck over in Korea. And we'll see you, I'm sure, very soon.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is Ralph Bauer. He is the coach to a number of PGA Tour players, Canadians and otherwise, including Adam Hadwin and Gary Woodland. And his group last year, the group that he had, won over $15 million.
That's not bad.
I think he's doing something right.
Wow.
I think he's doing something right. Listen, we come back from when we come back from this break, we are going to talk about some categories that we're going to have in our big TV year in review show on Golf Talk Canada. And we want to get some input from you, so I've just put that out on Twitter. We're going to talk about the player of the year, the breakout player of the year, the Canadian of the year, the question mark of the year. That's an interesting one. And the major of the year. What were your favorites? You can let us know. Golf Talk Canada on Twitter or Bob Weeks TSN on Twitter. And let us know what you think. And we'll come back to that right after this break.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks, along with producer Adam Scully, the technology destroyer, in the studio here. He's having trouble. Every time he touches something that
it breaks.
Has technology involved, it breaks. He just froze up his computer. Now he's sitting way at the other end of the studio here in beautiful Channel 9 court. It is a warm day in southwestern Ontario, but it's not looking too good weather-wise. A little wet maybe today, maybe tomorrow as well. Going to get cool on Monday, and then it's kind of warm up to as we get towards the later of the week. I hope wherever you are listening from, there's still a little bit of golf left, whether that's an indoor facility or not.
Simulators, yeah.
Yeah, but we certainly hope that that you have some golf left wherever you are. And it is, I know the golf season never really ends, but there is a there is kind of an end to the year, and we're starting already the new season. But we wanted to look back at some of the guys and some of the success stories and some of the maybe not so successfully stories, successful stories. Boy, I'm having trouble today. of the year, and I guess we're gonna feature this in an upcoming show on our year in review in Golf Talk Canada Television. So we're trying to get some feedback from some folks out there, listeners. Player of the year is the first category we got listed here, and I mean it was decided by the PGA Tour players that Justin Thomas was the player of the year, and I think that's probably pretty good because he really kind of bookended and ran right through the middle of the season with some excellent play. Your thoughts, Mr. Scully?
Yeah, you know, he obviously bookended, as you said. There were also some other factors to his good year, like the 59, like the 63 at the U.S. Open, which, and then obviously didn't have the Sunday he wanted. But he had those accolades to sort of add on to a pretty darn spectacular year. And without a doubt, you know, winning the FedEx Cup, a great performance at the President's Cup and as a rookie. I guess you'd call him a rookie. It was just a banner year for Justin Thomas.
And I used a stat on television this week, which was that if you look at his categories, the major strokes gained categories, he was inside the top 50 in all of them, which I know maybe 50 is not the greatest number, but when you look at other players, there's always one glaring kind of drop-off. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have one of those. Mm-hmm. He had a really good season right across the board in terms of every category. He had a, you know, I wouldn't, not quite bulletproof, but pretty close to bulletproof game out there, which to me makes it sort of a no-brainer. But if you had to take him out of the equation, what would you say?
I guess probably, I mean, Matsuyama had that great little stretch, especially winning at the WGC just before the PGA, and then he came close in the PGA as well. Jordan Spieth with winning his third major. Some other wins, holing out for eagle to win at Travelers, which was just that was a shot of
drama, right?
Yeah. A lot of drama there. And at the Open, he didn't quite have maybe his best stuff, tee to green, but certainly on Sunday, making some bombs for eagle and that sort of thing. Dustin Johnson.
It was, I mean, the first part of Dustin Johnson's year, he just looked bulletproof. He was winning tournament after tournament.
And then, obviously, Augusta happened. And
slip and fall.
The slip and fall. And then, well, he did win a playoff event. So
yep.
I guess before JT won the FedEx Cup, it was still sort of in question. Like, if Spieth had come and won the FedEx Cup, it'd be a pretty good debate who your winner would be. If DJ won the FedEx Cup, obviously didn't have the major this year, so there'd be that as well. But certainly one of those guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I love the way Dustin Johnson started the year. I just thought he looked so confident in everything he was doing. And again, like we were saying before, you know, right through the bag was playing well. But it's Justin Thomas's year for sure, and $19 million in the bank is not a good way to end
mediocre
the season. Breakout player of the year.
So I'd say, in my opinion, it's between, being that we're in Canada, it's between two players, Adam Hadwin and Mackenzie Hughes. Hadwin, obviously, with the win, the 59, 13th in the FedEx Cup standings, $3.4 million this year, got married.
Not a bad year.
And then Mac Hughes, obviously, coming from the web, winning almost immediately on the PGA Tour, just missing out in the Tour Championship. I'd say one of those two. I mean, and then you can, Xander Schauffele's another guy who really came from nowhere. And doing what he's doing, and he's playing well.
Let me tell you a guy who I caught my eye. This guy at the end of 2016 was ranked 137th in the world, and right now he's ranked 5th.
John Rahm.
I mean, I don't know if you call that a breakout because he was pretty good last year, but boy, did he improve this year and just lit things up.
Well, even going from the stat was when he turned pro, I guess he was like 560th in the world, and then he climbed to the top 10 in less than a year.
Yep.
Which is remarkable, to say the least.
If you want to go across the pond a little bit, Tommy Fleetwood went from 99 to 17. That was a pretty good year for him.
Yep.
Even though he didn't perform all that well at the Open Championship, as everyone thought, because it was in his backyard at Royal Birkdale, but that wasn't it. All right, let's move on to, Canadian of the Year, I think, is, well, I guess you could debate it one way or the other.
Yeah, the Canadian, so there's Hadwin and Hughes.
Right.
And then there's Brooke.
Right.
And Brooke's had a great year. Won twice, came close call at the major. She's having a good week this week as well. Any of those three, it'd be a toss-up, really.
Do we give Brooke enough credit in comparing her to the guys? Like, a great year for Adam Hadwin and Matt Hughes. They've won once, and they both, you know, went up the rankings. But Brooke has won twice, and do we sort of diminish it a little bit because, A, it's the LPGA Tour, and B, because we kind of expect it from her now?
It's crazy to think that we expect it from her, and she's so young.
20.
And she's second all-time in wins by a Canadian on the LPGA Tour, and she's 20 years old. Yeah, I guess so, that we've come to expect it from her. As you said, we're going to be expecting even more from her next year, which is crazy to think that
she's still got some time left this year.
Yeah, and the way she hits the ball, and if she has a good putting week, she's tough to beat.
Question mark of the year. We only got a couple minutes here, but question mark of the year. This could be a player. This could be a tournament. This could be Glen Abbey could be the question mark of the year.
Definitely one, and that's the beauty of this Golf Talk Canada Year in Review special. It's an hour long. There's so many ways you can go with this. I think the angle that I would go is Tiger, to sort of go from everything that went on with him in May with the DUI, and then sort of not hearing from him a lot, and then finally sort of you first heard from him when he posed with Justin Thomas with the PGA Championship trophy, the Wanamaker, and then President's Cup, and then the 60 yard wedge shots, and now he's club twirling on the driving range. So I don't know. It's he's one, and then obviously Rory's another one for sure too.
Here's a guy who I kind of thought is going to be a question mark, and that's just because you don't know what's going to happen from it, because he had a good part of the year. Is Siwoo Kim wins the Players Championship in bang up fashion. I thought, man, this guy's going to be a world beater. Kind of fell off the map. It's interesting. After that, he fired his coach and he fired his caddy. After winning the Players, got back together with him. His coach, by the way, is Sean Foley.
Yes.
And then kind of made a little rally, showed his head again at the President's Cup as one of the bright lights, if you can call it that, I guess, for the international team.
And a great chant, too.
Yeah, and I just don't know what to expect from him. I don't know if this guy's going to be... Yeah, great chant, that's right. I don't know what to make of this guy, so we'll have to figure it out. There are tons of questions that we can answer and battle either way, and we're going to delve into those as we get into that Golf Talk Canada Year in Review television show coming up. For right now, we'll leave those open to you. You can respond to us on Twitter and give us your thoughts on any of those categories or any other category you want to make up. We're going to say goodbye to the national audience, but you can continue to listen online on iHeartRadio for the Southwestern Ontario and other stations, Hamilton, Toronto. You have another half hour coming up, more Golf Talk Canada after this. But when we come back, it'll be Winners, Weird, and What.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks, Scully in studio, and speaking of St. Kitts, we got our big special this week coming
Travel
up.
Travel special,
and which you produced. And I gather there are, in addition to some amazing scenes of some wonderful golf courses and things like that, there are actually pictures of Mark Sacchino wearing clam diggers. Is that right?
There definitely is some questionable fashion attire.
The first good decision on the beach.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've got to talk to Mark about that. A couple outfits he was rocking.
But tune in because there are some wonderful golf opportunities down in St. Kitts. And man, is it looking pretty good when you start getting into the snow and the cold and all that. Looks pretty good to get down there. All right, this is the time that we love the most. It is Winners, Weird and What, and Mr. Scully, I have the tee.
So what do I do, just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
My winner this week is Austin Connolly, who has a Canadian passport, so we're claiming him.
And he's ours.
That's right. He lives most of his time in Texas, was born in Texas, but has a Canadian father, a Canadian grandfather, and has chosen to play with a Canadian flag beside his name, which I think is wonderful. Anyway, he is over playing on the European Tour this year, as we know, had a great run at the Open Championship, is going to secure his card for next year, it all certainly looks like that way anyway. But today he is playing alongside Sergio Garcia. And his mother, Bridget Connolly, who is on Twitter as Acon Mom, which I love, who's a lovely lady, she tweeted out a picture that she took of her son and Sergio 18 years ago. And so that makes this little guy 3 years old, and he's sitting beside Sergio. Sergio looks pretty young as well. You can find this. It's all over. I've tweeted it out. It's all over Twitter. And just look at this little picture. And there's Austin Connolly wearing his little hat and a beautiful yellow shirt. He's got a golf glove on, and he's basically sitting on Sergio's knee. And the two of them are out there together. Austin Connolly right now, by the way, is 84th. On the Race to Dubai standings, he 205th in the world ranking, 21 years old, and he shot 65 yesterday. Nice round. So he's in contention, actually, at the Italian Open as well. A really neat shot to look at.
It's crazy how all things sort of come full circle, and I'm sure that's such a joy for him to have one of his golfing heroes, and here he is, 21 years old, playing with the Masters champion.
And Sergio looked on, by the way, responded to this picture and said that he didn't think he'd aged that much.
Well, and Sergio's becoming a father.
That's right.
Yeah.
Announced that. That was news this week, wasn't it? That's right. Yeah. That didn't take long.
No.
My weird this week is we go to Brandon, Manitoba, where two teenage boys were arrested for chasing wild turkeys down Aberdeen Avenue with golf clubs. So I don't know what's more weird about this one is that the fact that they were chasing turkeys, that they had golf clubs, or that they were doing it down a street. Like, why were there turkeys in the middle of the street in Brandon? Is that kind of a common thing?
You find some obscure stories for the weirds. I love it. That's so weird.
And this is right after Thanksgiving. Yeah! These turkeys have just survived. They've just made it through. They didn't get eaten, and now they're being chased with golf clubs.
Like, what is going on in the
Apparently,
world?
Apparently, they were arrested anyway. And I love this comment from one of the police officers who's arrested. It says, in my 17 years as a police officer, I've never heard of anybody chasing down turkeys with golf clubs.
I would hope so.
I would hope not either. That's a little different one. My what this week is, what a stretch it has been for Danny Willett. Masters champion in 2016. Basically has fallen off the earth. And the side of it, he missed the cut at the Masters in his defense. He has lost his PGA Tour card. He kind of hit low bottom, and he admitted this week or last week in a blog on the European Tour site that he didn't even really want to play golf anymore. He just didn't enjoy going out to play golf. He entered some tournaments at the end of the year, HSBC Champions in China, Turkey, Nedbank. He just didn't even want to play them, didn't want to be there. So he's made some wholesale changes, by the way. He has changed it up. He's going to work now with Sean Foley. Just started working with him, and they're trying to make some kind of a comeback. And he feels that he is getting a little bit better on the good side. I think it's said here that he and his wife are expecting another child. So that's a good positive thing. So maybe Danny Willett can kind of climb back to that form that saw him win the Masters. Yeah. What do you think about
it? Weird. Yeah, it's just sort of, you know, to come from to be at the top of the mountain, basically. And several times this year, he was battling a back injury. He was a lot of erratic shots from him. And the most interesting thing, or one of the most interesting things, is that him and his caddy are no longer.
Right.
And there's the great shot when when he knew he was going to win the Masters, or like, and Spieth didn't hole out on 17 when he had the chance to, and he was FaceTiming his wife, I believe, and his caddy came and sort of body checked him on the couch and said, "We're the Masters champion." And so to see that relationship sort of split, he's in a different time, but let's hope he can rekindle it with Sean Foley.
Exactly. He did say he got a little bit of inspiration at the Champions Dinner this year, where he heard about the guys all telling stories about Arnold Palmer and a few things about Augusta. All right, Mr. Scully, you have the tea.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Okay, so my winner this week is the European Tour. Why, you may ask? Well, they've been awesome on social media.
So good.
Releasing these great videos for Pace of Play, the Awkward Reporter, the little child reporter, Billy, I believe his name
was.
I can't think of his name. They released another one this week, and it was with Eduardo Molinari, and it was an attempt to get a hole-in-one from 145 yards. He had 500 balls. 12 hours, and you don't see every shot, so they cut it down to about 6 minutes. On his first shot, he hit it to 4 inches.
Oh, I know.
And that's about as close as he got. He had some priceless reactions. Shot 153, bounced in and out of the cup.
Wow.
And after shot number 361, he was nearly crying of both laughter and disappointment. It is a priceless video. Go on Twitter, find it there at the European Tour. They tweeted it out.
It's amazing how many top players have like almost no hole in ones or just one or two. Maybe Fred Couples went for years, didn't get a hole in one. And there's a lot of guys who just never have one, right?
Yeah,
even a lifetime.
But picture as an amateur golfer, if you're listening this morning. 500 balls.
Oh, yeah.
Same shot, same pin location, 12 hours.
Look at the divot pattern, too.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. And for the first one to go to 4 inches, insane. My weird this week, this guy's been in the news, not fake news, the real news, every day, Mr. Donald Trump. The U.S. president shot a 73, according to Senator Lindsey Graham, at Trump National Golf Club in Virginia. And immediately people said, 73. There's no way the president shot 73. Yeah. And Lindsey Graham went to the defense of President Trump and said he made a lot of putts. It was a very athletic swing. It was in wet conditions, which is crazy to think that a 71-year-old can almost shoot his age at that.
Interesting. Yeah.
And President Trump is a 2.8 handicap index on the USGA, but he hasn't posted a score since June of 2016.
Now, I have seen his swing before he was the president down at Corral, and he's got a good swing.
He can move.
He's got a good swing, and all the guys who've played with him seem to report back, like when Rory played with him and stuff.
And Tiger,
and they said that he was pretty good. So maybe it's legit. I don't know, but he's gonna get one of those letters about not posting his score.
Absolutely, he won't be able to play in his own tournaments. You got to post your score, Mr. President. And my what this week. What a shank by Ian Poulter. Man. Yet another one of a shank by him. And, of course, it happened on Friday the 13th of all days.
Of
and
course.
That was yesterday. But he's had a number of other shanks. So this one came fifth hole in the second round of the CIMB. The 18th hole this past year at the Players. He was in contention, and he just hit a hosel rocket down the right-hand side. And then, of course, there was a Honda Classic in 2015. And Roger Maltby was great on the call. Johnny Miller didn't see the ball flight immediately from the tower. And Roger says, that was just a flat-out shank. And it went 100 yards right of his target. And Poulter's been, I guess, known to hit a shank every now and again. But
Poulter hits more shanks than any top player that I've ever seen.
Like, isn't that crazy?
You know, you'd be surprised how many guys do hit them. Maybe not the very top guys. But you go to a PGA Tour event, and there's always a couple. But he hits him, and he fully admits him. I mean, he just comes right out and says, yep, I did it.
Yeah, but I shanked
He kind of crowds himself, doesn't he, a little bit? I mean,
I guess it's a swing? steeper swing. But, I mean, as we both well know, hitting a shot after a shank might be the most terrifying experience. Because you have no idea where the ball's going to go. But imagine being on tour and that the same thing. Gives you the heebie-jeebies.
It is a little bit crazy, a little bit nerve-wracking to have it done. Have you had hole-in-one, by the way, speaking of your hole-in-one?
I have. I had a hole-in-one 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
At the 12th hole at Bayview.
And your mother had one this year, though.
She's had three in the last 7 years.
Three in the last 7 years.
Not bad.
Wow.
After going her first 35 years, I should say. Hope you're listening. Without getting a hole-in-one, then she got 3 in 7.
We had a couple of guys in the on the staff here. Dave Poulin had one.
Dave Poulin. Jeff O'Neill
had one. Both times playing with James Duthie. So if you want to get a hole-in-one, arrange a game with James, I guess.
And, of course, I don't think James has had one, maybe.
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I've had a hole-in-3.
Have you?
Teed it up, hit it in the water, re-teed, hit it in the cup, easy par.
Wow. Well, I always say my buddies give me the gears all the time. I say, you know, boys, this is the day for a hole-in-one this year. Because it's going to happen, and it never does.
It never does.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we're going to tour around the tours. There is surprisingly, it's mid-October here, and we got lots of golf to talk about, and some Canadians in the hunt on several spots around there. So we'll cover off the tours and finish up when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. We are wrapping up this October edition in the rainy Toronto area. Wet. Moist, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't look like a great day for golf, but they're still looking like lots of golf days left.
Yeah.
Coming up here, 20 degrees on Wednesday, I'm seeing 18 on Tuesday. Boy, it's going to be a nice finish. We had such a crummy spring. We deserve it.
Well, was it last year or 2 years ago in Toronto where people were playing golf on Christmas Day?
Yeah, I think that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that.
Crazy.
They're playing golf over in Kuala Lumpur. Did you know that?
I did.
It's the CIMB Classic. It's one of those big events. Pat Perez has a 4-shot lead over Xander Schauffele, who is, what a year he's had as a rookie. Hideki Matsuyama, by the way, is tied for fourth at minus 15. Canadian content in there. Nick Taylor is the top one. He is tied for 30th after a third round 67. Graeme Dillette started off 77. And then he's followed that up with 67-68. He's tied for 38th. Richard T. Lee is tied for 44th. He had a win a couple of weeks ago on the Asian Tour. Mm-hmm. And Adam Hadwin, who was looking really good, he was tied for 8th going into the third round. But he shot 76 yesterday, so he dropped down to tie for 51st.
Yikes. Well, on the LPGA, we have the Hana Bank Championship in South Korea. And Jin Young Ko is your leader at 15-under. Inji Chun, 2 shots off the pace. Brooke Henderson, 5 shots off the pace, tied for 8th, looking for her third win of the year.
The Champions Tour is battling hard, and they are playing the SAS Championship. Jerry Smith, David McKenzie, who was a PGA Tour Canada player for a number of years, Aussie guy, and Gibby Gilbert III, or as we like to call him here in Canada, Gibby Gilbert. they are tied at 5-under. Canadian content, Rod Spittle, tied for 25th at 1-under. They've only played one round. Stephen Ames tied for 41st at even par.
To the European Tour, the Italian Open, where Mark Sacchino has either made the cut or is watching.
Trying to Monday qualify.
Matt Wallace, your leader, at 15-under par. It's still going on right now, their third round. George Kitsia, Tyrrell Hatton at 14. Tommy Fleetwood, 2 shots off the pace. And Austin Connolly has just made a bogey, so he's now 1-under on his round. T21, 5 shots off the lead.
Oh, that bogey dropped him down. I just looked at that. He was like tied for ninth.
It's up to the minute on the European Tour.
Wowee. All right. The RBC Scramble of National Finals, presented by the Lincoln Motor Company. They are out in beautiful Cabot Links. What a lucky bunch of people these are. This is a cool event. I think it's going to get bigger. There's a pro, club pro, and 5 or 4 AMs playing a straight-up scramble. And right now, the team from Cordova Bay out in British Columbia has the lead after 2 rounds. But right on their heels is a squad from Blue Springs, a squad from the Ridge at Manitou, from the Landings, which is here in Ontario. So the Ontario teams are doing pretty well. I'm looking at down the list. There's Oslerbrook, Muskoka Bay, our boys from Muskoka Bay. They are tied for 10th right now. So a fun event. And I can tell you there were some guys who aren't going to win the golf tournament, but they are sure going to win the party after what I saw.
Well, and someone's name is etched on the bar.
Yes, there's only one name out there.
Yes, and there was a lot of flack on Twitter about that.
That's right. There's another guy, another writer by the name of Eamon Lynch, who... Yep. Desperately wants to get his name up on the bar. We always have a little bit of fun with it. Yeah. Not real serious, but he said he was coming back there with a screwdriver to remove it so he could all be even up there. Just before we go, we were talking about our Golf Talk Canada Year in Review special, and we had a lot of categories. And one of the categories that is going to be dealt with is Major of the Year, which for you was the most exciting major. So I will put that question to you, Mr. Producer Adam Scully.
And you know, it was a great year for major golf in terms of who won the majors. Sergio, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas. Watching Sergio, in terms of, you know, great storylines, there were really two, being the Masters and the Open Championship. Sergio finally breaking through and just an epic sort of performance to bounce back the way he did and almost make an albatross in the 15th hole. And then obviously there's Jordan Spieth at the Open Championship, hitting it into outer space and then making the bogey of a lifetime and then coming back with the way he finished. It'd be a toss-up between those two. For me, I'd give it to the Masters by a hair, but it's close. What do you think?
Yeah, I would have to go. I would say if I was going from the bottom up, the U.S. Open was meh, wasn't all that great. Then I would go the PGA, and a great performance by Justin Thomas. Mm-hmm. Then I would go Open Championship, and then I would go Masters. And I think the Masters was cool because, A, it was a playoff, which is always fun, and, B, because it's kind of represented Sergio's full circle with the American golf fans, right? Because he was, he was loved when he, remember when he did the scissor jump at the PGA in 1999 and it was chasing after Tiger. And then he kind of fell out of popularity, the U.S. Opens in New York at Bethpage spinning when he was getting yelled at with a regrip and everything. Mm-hmm. But at the Masters this year, people were chanting his name as he was coming up the playoff, like, Sergio, Sergio. And I think people just kind of felt, regardless of what had happened, the spitting in the cup, all the silly things, he's kind of rebuilt himself. Mm-hmm. But they sort of felt he almost deserved one, right?
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, he was pretty critical of himself a couple years ago at Augusta, saying that the course wasn't just set up for him. And, you know, he goes out. And it was, as you said, full circle and how he bounced back. He made a bogey, I believe, on the 13th hole. And the old Sergio would have, you know, squandered and you know, made bogeys and more bogeys down the stretch, but he sort of bounced back and made that bogey instead of making a seven and then went on to win his first major of his career.
I think Angela Aikens, his wife, I don't know if she's taken his last name or not, so she might be Angela Garcia, who knows, but she had a lot to do with that. I think she told him, she told him things he needed to hear instead of things that maybe people wanted to tell him afterwards or, you know, they felt he should have heard. But I think it was an interesting one. But certainly the Jordan Spieth and that Matt Kuchar race down the end was also the weirdest one with all that big time delay they had.
The half an hour hole on 13. Yeah. But that show is in not airing this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after.
This Wednesday is the big St. Kitts Golf Special. Watch that one with Mark Sacchino down in the sunshine. And then we'll come back with the Year in Review Special. We will be here right through on radio, right through for the next little while. So you can tune in Saturday mornings and listen to us here. And give us your thoughts on what you think are the Player of the Year, Canadian of the Year, all those kind of things. And we'll include those when we get to our Year in Review Special in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much for listening today on wherever you listen to, whatever station you were, right across Canada or on the internet. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy your golf if you get a little bit more left. And when you do, hit it long and straight. See you next time, folks.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.